Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
University trying to become the first number 15 seed in history to get to the Elite Eight. This was on Friday because we had weird schedules in the NCAA this year. Normally, you play Thursday, Friday is a round, Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday is a round. Then you play Thursday, Friday is a round, Saturday, Sunday is a round. And then you play Saturday and Monday for the Final Four and the final game. No. We got to do everything weird this year. Friday to Monday was the first two rounds, and then Saturday through tomorrow, it's the next two. Davis, they're messing with my schedule. Like, I don't know what day anything is anymore. Now they've just changed it for reasons that I don't even understand. There's no reason to make it two different start days both weekends.
I know. It's actually, I told you, it was throwing me off too. Not only do the first two rounds, we get a whole bunch of basketball, then we're cut off from basketball.
Right, exactly.
You gotta cut you off cold turkey for about 5 days, and now you get a little bit more again.
And why the weird days? I don't understand, but whatever. It's the NCAA, you know, they're a communistic monopoly. They can do whatever they want. you know, it's true. So anyway, so Arkansas, number 3, against Oral Roberts University, number 15. So Arkansas got ahead with just a few seconds to go. They were 2 points up, and Oral Roberts has a chance.
And again, what you want to do is force Oral Roberts to catch the ball heading back toward their own basket.
Uncover Thompson will inbound. Asemus against Davis. Asemus for the Elite Eight. Arkansas has won!
Yeah. it's a year in which nothing right has happened. Can we just say it? Unless you're like a Gonzaga fan hoping for the undefeated season, or like a Baylor, you know, nothing right has happened this year. Not even the cool Cinderella story, you know. Well, I guess if you're a UCLA fan, but of course that comes at the expense of Alabama. They lost yesterday in overtime. Oh, that was painful to watch. Alabama comes back, ties it in regulation, and then forgets how to play basketball in overtime. So anyway, everybody's out. Well, I mean, there's eight in, but, you know, FSU is out, Bama's out, Florida's out. I know y'all don't care about Illinois, but that's my alma mater. They're out. So let's just move on. Let's just move on and talk about other stuff. 5-12 here. But it's good to have basketball. We didn't have basketball last year. It's good to have basketball this year, right? It's not, I mean, it's like 95% of a regular year. You don't really miss the, am I wrong, or do you miss the fans? I don't notice.
I mean, there are a little bit of fans, and I guess they're making up for it.
Is there something? I have not noticed it until I was talking about it just now.
I love it when there's a full packed stadium for a loud game. There's that synergy that happens with it. But, you know, still entertaining basketball nonetheless.
Absolutely. 5:13 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. They moved the cargo ship. Did you see this? It was in the top of the hour, Fox News. This is like the international story, because nobody wants to care anymore about this disease. You know, Anthony Fauci's on yesterday. We're at a plateau. This is a plateau is what happens before things go up. Well, I mean, or a plateau is what happens before things go down. But no, typically he's right. There's an oscillation, right? If you're going up and there's a plateau, that's good because it means you're going to be coming back down. The acceleration is negative, for those of you who know your differentials, or derivatives, I guess, technically. But if it's going down and then it plateaus, that's bad, because that means the acceleration is positive. That means it's going to be coming back up. And it's true. It's true in most places. Now, I keep waiting here locally. We are like right at over 100 cases per 100,000. Or if you want to think of it this way, one per 1,000. is maybe an easier way to think it. We're just above that. I keep waiting for it to get below. Santa Rosa is at 1.5 per thousand. Okay, not 150 per 100,000. The state of Florida is worse at 250. Over 300. It's gone back up. It's at 313 right now. It had gotten down to just under 300, and now it's gone back up. Not by much, but the decline has flattened. He's right, and nationally as well. So what does that mean? Nobody knows. Nobody knows, right? It probably isn't good, but as we're getting more people vaccinated, state of Florida has gone to 40 right now. It takes a month or so, 6 weeks, for people to really have immunity from the vaccination. There's a study that came out, the Veterans Administration did a study. They think that vaccination immunity lasts 7 months. That's not an upper threshold. That's a lower threshold. So they think at least 7 to 9 months. That's good news. Because you remember originally we had worried it might only be 4 months or something like that. So, you know, they're down to 40 years old today in the state of Florida, down to everybody 18 and up starting next Monday, as you heard Mark talking about at the top of the hour. So those are good news indicators. The rate of death, the rate of infection, all of the things in long-term care have almost not quite completely been eliminated in the state of Florida, but it's really low. So protecting seniors has definitely been a working strategy. And this is crucial. If vaccinations have protected the elderly, then vaccinations will protect everybody else. Right? I mean, Florida emphasized seniors heavily, and it's worked. And if that has worked for the seniors, it will work for the younger, because guess what? The youngers have better immunity, better immune systems. And if it worked for the... So this is good news as a state. This is good news as a society. Even though, keep in mind, there are still people dying from this thing. Not as many at all, but there are still people dying from it. But I don't know if you're where I'm at on this. You know me. I have been tracking this heavily for over a year now. And, you know, mask advocate, be careful. I'm not a congregator. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not an anti... I know who a lot of you are, and that's... I mean, society's made up of different people, okay? But I'll just tell you, for me, I don't care as much anymore about it all. I actually stopped doing the daily updates last week because we're in a good place. I do care, but I find I have to make myself care a little bit. And I'll tell you why. I think I know why. Because we're on the verge of solving it. And the vaccine's available, and people are getting the vaccine, and the people who are most vulnerable are getting the vaccine. And what's the news going to be at this point? You know, what's the big change? Do we need to keep having the experts on coronavirus on every week on the Sunday shows? It's not that it doesn't matter anymore. It's that what's fundamentally going to change that we don't already know about? And the answer is not much. We're increasing vaccinations. Fewer people are getting sick. Well, we hope. Fingers crossed based on the numbers. 517 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, good news. If you are traveling Avalon, I'll tell you about this in a minute, but we went to the beach for the first time in 6.5 months, 7 months, and which means we went around because we live, Pensacola. The right turn lane southbound on Avalon on a 98, they are building an extra lane over there. Well, there already is one, but it's short. The right turn lane, they're extending that back substantially. So that's going to make traffic flow and separation of the traffic so that the people who are turning right aren't going to get stuck behind the people turning left at the light. So that's good. Now, why did it take them, 7 months to figure this out? 6 months, I guess, technically. No one knows an answer to this question. But that is coming, so that's good news. Oh, and they did, they put up, the signs that say toll ahead, toll plaza ahead. 80% of them, and I say that if you drive it, you'll see, the big ones still say toll, but the little ones, like the little yellow sign that says toll plaza ahead or the little white sign that says toll for the route right next to the Interstate 10 marker, that kind of stuff, those have been covered over with duct tape and a plastic bag. And I mean that. That's how they've been covered over, because the concern is if people are not from here, they don't know not to stop at the toll plaza. So they've covered those over so people theoretically don't stop. They still do because they don't know what they're doing, which is, unforgivable. But the point was to free up traffic by people not thinking there's a toll and you would just drive through. But it really does look like... It's good that they finally got these covered up. The bad news is it does kind of look like Jim Bob and Uncle Ricky went out there with a plastic bag and a duct tape. it's so rudimentary. It's not a professional sign adaptation, but you know, whatever. It doesn't say toll anymore, so that's good news. 519 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
If I had my time again, I would do it all the same, and not change a single thing, even when I was the blind.
Okay, I've seen this story like 15 different places, so I guess it's a big deal. Prince William, I mean, here I am talking about it. Prince William has been named the world's sexiest man. sexiest bald man, excuse me. Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham, Michael Jordan finishing behind Prince William. So a dude who's going to be king one day, that makes up for a lot. Let me just put it that way. I mean, come on. You know? Oh, man. 522. Plus, you got to get rid of her, you know? I mean, she looks pretty lively. I don't think... Anyway, people are funny. 522 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Good morning. There's a new poll out showing the majority of Americans do not approve of President Biden's handling of the situation at the border or efforts to control gun violence. ABC News Ipsos poll. 57% don't favor his handling of either issue.
No, you mispronounced Kamala Harris. Because she's in charge of the border now. I can't do this. You take it. Did you see Saturday Night Live, by the way?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. They made a thing about that. Oh, thanks, Joe.
I've just kind of been not paying attention to anything. Welcome back. Good to have you back. When it comes to the toll the pandemic has taken across the country, former White House coronavirus response coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx says things didn't have to be this bad.
The first time we have an excuse. There were about 100,000 deaths that came from that original surge. All of the rest of them, in my mind, could have been mitigated or decreased substantially.
New documentary out on CNN Sunday, Birx says then-President Trump was very upset with what experts like her were saying publicly about the spread of the virus last summer.
What's with the ominous music underneath it? What was that from the documentary?
Yes. COVID war.
Hey, Bear McCreary, you do all these theme songs to all these TV shows. Come do us a theme for death and destruction for a COVID special on CNN.
Somebody in Florida is the winner of Saturday's $238 million Powerball jackpot. I can tell you it's not me.
Oh, well, you're here.
It's not me. Winning tickets sold just outside Tampa at a Publix.
All right.
$238 million cash option, I think, $160.
All right. Oh, that seems... What did you say, $280 was the main price?
$238.
Oh, $238. Okay. Yeah. All right. I guess that's about right.
You know, it'll do.
It's spending money. Yep. You know, it'll let you go to the nicer grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Mark, good to have you back on the show. 524 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, my goodness. What else we have going on? Davis, I always have to check my intuitions against somebody who's just a little bit younger and you qualify. Can I tell you an embarrassing story?
Of course you can.
So, in my brain, I'm 50, okay? And in my brain, I'm still about 31. You know, I know I'm not 30, but I don't feel like I'm 35, just in my head, okay? I know my body reminds me that's not the case whenever I exercise, but still. So in my brain, that's about where I'm at. And we're getting, we went out to eat for my wife's birthday over the weekend, and the waitress had a 1977 tattoo on her arm. And she didn't look super young, but she didn't look old either. And I asked her, is that your birthday? And I think she just didn't hear me accurately. She just heard birthday, and she's like, yeah, it's my mom's birthday. I'm like, oh. Because I was born in 71, so my wife's born in 76, so is her mom is our age. You know, we're at that point in life where it's... Because I'm just eating my burger. Everything's okay. Oh my goodness. I was going to ask you, as the sort of the youngster in the room, Miller Lite has come out with this is one of the weirdest stories we didn't get to at the end of last week. Miller Lite has now come out with candles that are designed to give you the scent of bar environments that you might be missing, like game day bar scented candle. Game Day Bar mixes top notes of the most ordered bar snacks on game day with the subtle power of comfortable cracked leather, the ideal backdrop to a freshly opened beer. Just so it's going to, when you light the candle, it's supposed to smell like a bar. All right. Just like in real life, the scent of peanuts and jalapeno delightfully overpower the cloud of excitement from a fan literally sweating out the win at the next table. This is on the candle. Allow Game Day Bar to take you back to the packed, stiff, sticky-floored bar of your alma mater or the best spot to watch your city's team win or lose. We're here either way. Miller Lite. And then the other ones are called Dive Bar and Beer Garden with their own descriptions. What? Who wants this? They sold out. They sold out, like, the first day they were on sale. They completely sold out.
It's like the KFC fire log.
No, it's not. This is nasty. Who desires smell of a bar?
It's intriguing. You know what? Oh. They sold out. They sold out. Mm. People are interested in this kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, people are weird. 527 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody texted me in the middle of the day yesterday. We were out taking a walk over at the Bayou Marcus ECUA Boardwalk facility and also in the swamp, the Jones Swamp Trail. That's really cool. If you've never been on that, you can get at it. And there's lots of ways to get at it over by PSC in Warrington, among other locations. Anyway, somebody texted me and said, "Hey, Andrew, are the Blues flying back today?" I'm like, I don't think so, because I don't think they're even out of town, but I was out walking. I couldn't check. Yeah, I was right. When I came back, I compared schedules. So the only show that is on even the April schedule is Sun and Fun at Lakeland, April 17th through the 18th. NAS Jax has been canceled. Of course, NAFL Central was canceled. MCAS Buford, right? Sorry. Apologies. In South Carolina, that's been end of the month. So basically, if Sun and Fun happens, and it is currently on the schedule, you can currently buy tickets. People don't always realize that. You grow up in Pensacola and other places, people have to pay for admission to these air shows. Like $170 to get into this one for the week. Anyway, so all the rest of the shows, you know, May, June, July are still on the schedule, but we'll see. Obviously, depending on COVID. But at the moment, the Blues are not leaving to go fly anywhere, so they're not returning from anywhere, and so they're not going to be flying over the area.
You know more because you listen to Brian Kilmeade, 11 to 1 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Combating Public Disorder Bill, which enhances several crimes, puts them in the context of a riot, requires a first appearance requirement, uncaps sovereign immunity, and creates an affirmative defense for individuals who injure riders.
That's Representative Fernandez-Burkin, Juan Fernandez-Burkin, a Republican running the bill, HB1, in the Florida House of Representatives. This was final third reading on Friday. Big day on Friday. They were dealing with the guns in churches that are near or on school campuses bill. That's J.R. Williamson's bill, of course, District 3, Santa Rosa County Representative. And then they were dealing with the COVID liability bill. And then they were dealing with this bill, HB1, the governor's, one of the Governor DeSantis's priorities to create clearer definitions for what is a riot, when you are justified in using force against rioters, and having, as he said, they're an affirmative defense in using force against rioters, and so forth. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like, I'm sitting down to listen to this, and the very first thing they say when they get done with the introductions of the bill, and then you have the Speaker of the House says this.
Debate will be limited to 180 minutes per side in 15-minute increments.
That's 3 hours per side in debate. 6 hours total of debate. And I'm like, oh, no. It's an impeachment hearing. Oh, no. 6 hours. No, I did not listen to all of it. I mean, come on. I have a life. So I listened to some of it. I've heard the debate many times, so I, you know, wasn't familiar. But here's what cracked me up. Okay, so 6 hours of scheduled debate on a Friday morning. And then Representative Ramon Alexander, the Democrat who was running the opposition, they do one speaker, and then after the one speaker, here's what happened.
Representative Alexander, you are recognized.
Point of clarification before you start the clock. Can you please pause it? One, can the clock start at the commencement of each speaker? We're losing a lot of time. And also on the introduction transition, I lost about 10 seconds. So I would like to get that time back. And also, if the clock can stop subsequently when the speaker stops, not when I recognize them.
So the Speaker of the House gives him 3 hours, and he's like, you wasted 10 seconds. Give it back. It's like somebody writes you a check for $999,999.84. You're like, where's my 16 pennies? Come on. Give me my 16 pennies. So they did. I mean, I don't think they used it all in the end. I think it went about 4 hours. It was long. Like I said, it was long. But here's what's fascinating to me. On this issue, I also have concerns. And I share the concern that a lot of the Democrats raise, the concern that this would have a kind of chilling effect on protest, on peaceful protest, and also that people who are peaceful protesters would get somehow dragged into a felony because they happen to be at a protest where somebody comes and turns it towards violence. I think those are fair concerns. I don't think they're deal breaker concerns, but those are both fair concerns because peaceful protest is not just a First Amendment right, which is itself a God-given First Amendment right. Right? No, they're God-given rights, right? But it's an important thing. It's essential for a democracy that people have the right to protest their government, to peacefully protest their government for the redress of grievances, to say, hey, you suck. That's right. And to demonstrate and to rally and to get groups together and to have your say. This is a good thing. Protest is a good thing. It is a healthy thing. It is not just the way change happens, but the way errors don't happen. Government does something bad or fails to do something good, the two kinds of mistake, right? You know, sins of commission, sins of omission. You do something bad, you fail to do something good, and the people form a group. You know, the angry townsfolk grab their lanterns and their torches and their pitchforks. No pitchforks, right? You know, don't carry the weapons around. That's a riot. But without the pitchforks, yay, do that. It's how all kinds of things happen in our society. It's important. It's good. It's American. And sometimes I think in, you know, kind of being against the riots, sometimes, unfortunately, I think people kind of forget that. No, be pro-protest. I am pro-protest. Pro-protest of the people I disagree with, especially. Pro-speech of the people I disagree with, especially, right? So I'm concerned about the idea that this might have a chilling effect on peaceful protesters who are afraid of getting dragged into something or of being unjustly targeted because they're not doing anything wrong but the way the legislature... I sympathize with those concerns. And like the Democratic representative, Robin Bartleman.
My daughter and many other Americans would not destroy property nor harm others. However, a peaceful protest with just 25 participants can turn into a riot with a couple of bad players making bad choices. If my daughter attends what starts out to be a peaceful march and others get violent, and chaos and panic ensues, she faces the possibility of being arrested and now charged with a felony.
Yeah, that should not happen. And she shouldn't have to be afraid that will happen. She should feel comfortable in her First Amendment rights to protest peacefully without the fear. But what's the other side? What's the concern? So many of these sometimes peaceful many times peaceful, but often not peaceful protests have turned the other way. And we have seen stores looted, buildings burned, cops attacked. Like 2,000 cops got injured last year during the race riots or the race protests. You know, it's, and you have this classic example of the TV reporter standing in front of the building on fire saying it's a mostly peaceful protest. Well, you know, not always. And that's the challenge, is what do you do with that? What do you do with the animal rights activists who try to shut down a restaurant? I mean, that's intimidation. That's a form of riot, right? That needs to be stopped. You need to have something on the books to give police the tools to handle that kind of stuff. We don't really have it right now. So this winds up getting passed, 76 to 39. I agree with the legislation. But listen, you can agree with something and still have concerns that you need to watch out for. Look, I agree with the red flag law concept under the Parkland bill. Nobody's going to say I'm not a gun rights activist, but I agree with that, but I have concerns. So you'll hear me every once in a while ask my cop friends, hey, you arresting anybody for this? How's that going? What kind of circumstances? I want to know how it's being implemented, just like I want to watch this and see how it's being implemented, because we don't need to have actual riots where people get hurt without the cops having the ability to do something. We don't need to have a Capitol riot here in Florida. We've had other riots here in Florida. We need, it's good to have tools to prevent that. It's also important to protect peaceful peaceful protesters, and they are a distinct category, protesters versus rioters. So it's, sometimes people get locked into this, you know, I believe one thing and so the other side is stupid. You can believe a thing and then say, you know, the other side has a point we should pay attention to. And even if we think that they're wrong in the end or that their concerns are not enough to disqualify the bill, honor the truth when it's on the other side or when there's something on the other, because that makes you reasonable. That makes you not just an ideologue or not just a partisan or somebody who's so locked into your side that you can't be reasoned with. 546 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Got tons of pictures on this phone of people mowing grass and leaving those grass clippings in the street. I've never witnessed this practice until recent years here in Pensacola.
Sharon Myers during the city council meeting on Thursday. It's a small, actually this is from the agenda conference last Monday, but it's a small note, but it's an important note. It's something that we didn't have a chance to share with you, and she's right. This is, grass clippings do what? Well, if they go into the gutter, they go into the storm drain, they clog it up, they cause a problem. They're just like any other kind of debris. And worse, you know, branches at least allow water to flow through a lot of times, or branches don't go down in the drain. What happens to the mower clippings? They just go down, they're like sand, basically, right?
Grass clippings are really bad for our stormwater system. And so, and it's also a code violation, by the way, for people to do that. And a lot of the people who are doing it are commercial contractors. And so I would really...
Yeah, so no, that's a good note. I mean, you know, a lot of times I'm critical of the things that Sherry brings up because she brings up a lot of stuff. And she's always the no on most of the 6-1 votes or 5-2 votes, that kind of stuff. But this is a good point, and it's just worth reminding people. Watch your grass clippings, right? 549 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is back in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
Good morning. The city of Minneapolis bringing on more 911 dispatchers as the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin opens today. He's accused of killing George Floyd by kneeling on his neck for several minutes. Former White House coronavirus response coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx says the country could have avoided most of the 550,000 COVID deaths in the country. In a new documentary on CNN, she says while the first wave of deaths was likely, the country could have avoided the death toll of future waves if people had implemented more social distancing and shutdown measures. Oh, no. Tiger King, headed for divorce.
I saw that.
Joe Exotic, currently locked up in Texas in a murder-for-hire plot, recently got a call from his husband, who says he wants a divorce. Dillon Passage confirmed the news on social media, saying they were only together for 9 months in 2017 before Exotic was arrested.
I will tell you, it's hard to get real worked up one way or the other about the dissolution of this relationship.
It's just,
the whole thing.
All you have to do is say Tiger King.
I mean, you know, tell me, what's the other dude's name? The ponytail dude? Guy that had the harem?
Dillon Passage.
Not the gay guy, the guy that had the three or four women in the harem.
Oh.
The one from Georgia,
yes,
I think.
Yes, anyway, oh my goodness.
I want the blonde, sort of platinum-y hair.
Now I just need to go back and watch. I thought,
you call me and tell me, you tell me the news story about the harems breaking up. I'm like, oh. I don't know. This show was so nuts. It was so Florida. And it wasn't Florida, but it was so Florida.
Partially Florida.
I know.
It was still
a little Florida tag in there.
I was surprised this didn't happen sooner, but I think he was riding the wave of fame. And then all of a sudden, it was like, all right, it's starting to peter out. Now I want the divorce.
Oh, yeah. Well, not so much that, but, we got to keep us in the news, right?
Right.
Now that the Trump pardon has gone off the table and everything else, right? Did you, Mark, were you a watcher? Did you watch the show?
No.
Okay.
No.
So this is all like people talking about something.
This is
that
all
don't even...
just, fascinating little tidbits.
Yeah. It's.
People watch that?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. you would. Davis, you agree? Mark would love this show? You would be captivated.
You need to watch it.
I may have to go back and rethink my position on this.
First two episodes, and I think you're in.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. Give it two episodes.
All right,
Mark, thanks for the update. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. By the way, that's not a compliment telling somebody that they would love the Tiger King. It's not an insult, but I feel like there's a certain person where you'd be like, yeah, you wouldn't like it. And you're kind of praising them like they're better people than we are. 5:52. Oh my goodness, where are we at? Oh, you know what? This is kind of, some things I get in my mind to do on the radio, and then there's just never a place to do them. Like, the time, the way we structure the show, the interviews, all that stuff just never allows us to do it. I'm going to try to do something here that I've had on my plate to do for like a week. Ron DeSantis, our governor, wrote a Wall Street Journal piece. When was this? March 18th. So this is now, 10 days old, 11 days old. But I thought it was an interesting piece. I'm going to see if I can't read it right here. It says, the COVID-19 pandemic represented a test of elites in the U.S. from public health experts to the corporate media. The results have been disappointing. I'm not going to read it in his vocal style. Policymakers who buck the elites and challenge the narrative have been proven right to do so. To begin with, highly publicized epidemiological models were as consequential as they were wrong. The model produced by Neil Ferguson of the Imperial College London, remember that study? Oh, way back. Which erroneously forecast millions of non-nursing home COVID deaths in the U.S., sparked panic among public health elites and served as the pretext for lockdowns throughout the U.S. and Great Britain. The lockdowns failed to stop the virus, but did a great deal of societal damage along the way. Damage that a more targeted approach seeking to reduce total harms would have been able to avoid and did in places like Sweden and Florida. Similarly, models predicting massive shortages of hospital beds helped to precipitate the disastrous policy enacted by states like New York, New Jersey, and Michigan to send contagious COVID-positive hospital patients back to nursing homes. States like Florida that rejected the models and adopted policies to protect nursing home residents had comparatively lower nursing home mortality rates as a result. The reliance on faulty models was matched by poor public messaging. Elites sent conflicting messages about the efficacy of cloth masks, the uniformity of risk across age brackets, the danger of outdoor transmission, and the practical benefit of taking a COVID vaccine. Perhaps most damaging to public trust was the public health campaign urging 15 days to slow the spread. Oh my God, do you remember when it was supposed to be 15 days and now a year later? This short-term mitigation, we were told, was necessary to buy time to prepare hospitals for any patient surges. But that reasonable aim was soon transformed into a lockdown until eradication approach that left no end in sight for most Americans. Going from save the hospitals to zero COVID represents one of the greatest instances of history moving the goalposts. Lockdowns proved a huge boon to America's corporate media, which primed its captive audience with fear and partisanship. Good Lord, have you ever watched CNN in the last year? Everything the corporate press did regarding COVID coverage was inseparable from its years-long obsession with attacking Donald Trump. Weaponizing COVID in an election year superseded any obligation to present the facts with needed context and perspective. Florida cut against the grain of elite opinion and bucked the media narrative. While it was abundantly clear by May that schools represented low-risk environments for the spread of COVID and that the consequences of prolonged school closures were potentially catastrophic, the corporate media did its best to obscure the data and stoke fear and panic among parents and teachers. After all, the media had to take the position opposite Donald Trump. Had the media presented the data on schools in a rational fashion with proper context and perspective, it's quite possible that the extended school closures we've seen in lockdown states would have been untenable and millions of students would have been in markedly better shape academically and socially. For months, we were told to trust the experts, but far too often over the past year, those who were most influential in our society and public health, government, and media proved incapable of rising to the moment. Florida cut against the grain of elite opinion and bucked the media narrative. The result is open schools, comparatively low unemployment, and per capita COVID mortality below the national average. We cannot simply undo the harm caused by flawed policies advocated by our elites, but we can resolve that we never let this happen to our country again. Again, that was Governor Ron DeSantis in the Wall Street Journal about 10 days ago. And I just thought it was, that when I read it, I thought this is really good. I'd share it on the air, just hadn't had a chance to do it. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Yeah, I'll link it up on the Facebook page. You can check it out there if you want to share it with other people. I'm Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Davis, have you seen the Lil Nas X devil shoes?
I have not.
There's some. So they've got Nike logos on them, but Nike is saying, no, not involved. They supposedly have human blood mixed into the soles. That's a little creepy, I know, but, and they have like Luke 10:18 on them, and they're selling for $1,018. That's a passage about the devil falling from the sky. And they're making 666 of them. I mean, people are just dumb. Can we say?